Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm sure you're all fascinated by now. The Mannheim talks about the effective role of vitamin D, relaxing cannabis, and so on. So maybe we're going to move down to the numbers and the facts and what's going on in the UAE. Before I start, maybe I should give you the story about how I got interested in vitamin D. I was visiting Dr. Leila and Dr. Echo in FKMC, and I asked her, so what are the common public health problems in the UAE? And she said, you know, you'd be surprised, but vitamin D is one of the major ones. And I was really surprised because, you know, coming, I was just moving from Canada and thinking, oh, over there people are really obsessed with vitamin D. But in this country with, you know, almost sunny every day in the year, I didn't imagine that would be a big problem. So then I asked Dr. Leila and Dr. Akhil, did you get tested? And they said, yeah, certainly we tested, and we had like very low levels. And the first time they tested, and then, you know, now they're aware of the problem, they started taking supplements, and they tested and they were sufficient. So that got me thinking, and I said, Dr. Leila, take me to the lab, I have to do the test right now. And so I went, and you know, late in the afternoon I found out that I was also deficient, but not now. So luckily we're now sufficient, and so this is the story. And then I got interested and wanted to know what's the true story about vitamin D here. So hopefully today I'm going to give you an idea about the research that was done, and basically it's about the lifestyle and the dietary habits of vitamin D cells among the UAE, among Emiratis and like among the UAE population. So I'm sure that from the morning session you've had a bit of very nice discussions about the vitamin D, and you know that it's a very unique vitamin because it's the only one that can be synthesized in the body, with the source being mostly sun exposure, little bit from the diet, and again, vitamin D supplementation. And all this big fuss about the functions of the vitamin D, with the recent discovery, with the nice presentation again, they noticed that every cell almost on the body, there's a receptor for vitamin D, and since that discovery, they started thinking about there must be some other function not related to the bone and bone. Something like cardiovascular diseases, cancer, depression, etc. So now vitamin D deficiency has affected people from almost all ages and almost everywhere in this world, and it's an insidious epidemic. Why? There are so many reasons for these. And first of all, there are very few foods naturally containing vitamin D, unfortunately. And only few foods are fortified. And if you look about the lifestyle of people nowadays, we spend so much time, I mean, look at us now, we've been trapped here for, you know, 6 hours now, and deprived from the sunshine outside, so this is the case with almost everybody nowadays. And, you know, paradoxically, there was a research done in a medical center, and they noticed that 13% of the students, medical students and doctors are actually deficient. And last but not least, and this is something that might, you know, make professor and psychologist really happy, the exaggerated face sun message and the excessive use of sunscreen. So for some time, we've been hearing about this face sun message, and people were very kind of worried about the sun, and they started using sunscreen. And you know, with sunscreen, a lot of research have indicated that you can reduce the vitamin D production by 95% and 99%, depending whether you use an SPF 8 or 15, respectively. So basically, even if you spend hours and hours of the sun, but you'll be deprived of some vitamin D. So how does it look like in the Gulf? Since, you know, the Gulf, as we said, enjoys sunshine almost every day in the year, You don't expect it to be high, but paradoxically it is a problem. And there's a lot of research from other countries that shows that it is a significant, a major problem. So we've got studies from Kuwait, some from Saudi Arabia, and some from Oman, and also in the UAE. So for instance, in the UAE there was a group led by Dr. Thaqi in Al-Ain, and they reported that it's a problem, especially among the young women. Another research by Sudani out in Saudi Arabia, he did a study on university students of both genders, and he noticed that also it can be a problem among the male students, not only female. Likewise, in Kuwait, vitamin deficiency was high, like around 40% prevalence among especially female women. And the list, you know, keeps on going from all the studies in the Gulf countries. Now, specifically, if we talk about the risk etiology of vitamin D deficiency, there are certain factors that play a role in predisposing a person to becoming vitamin D deficient. And one of the, you know, most important ones is age. As we grow older, there's a less efficiency by the enzymes that produce the vitamin D again. So we tend to produce less vitamin D when we grow older. And obesity, so the more obese, the less bioavailability for the vitamin D, and increased skin pigmentation, as was discussed earlier. Melanin is like a natural absorbent, like it would protect the body from skin cancer, but at the same time it will shut down almost like the vitamin D synthesis cascade on the skin. And last but not least, I mean, the avoidance of the sunlight exposure, so basically spending less time outdoors, using sunscreen or extensive clothing, and so on. So we got interested in the vitamin D research, and we wanted to know how it's like in the UAE. So we know that there are so many risk factors that we predispose Emirati specifically to being vitamin D deficient, and we wanted to construct this whole comprehensive picture about the intensity of the vitamin D deficiency problem in the UAE. So we decided to do like two studies. The first study, we would target a small subpopulation, and we wanted to focus on university students, so that would be a representative sample for the young adult Emiratis. And then another study, that would be a larger study, like focusing on the total population of the UAE, so like both, you know, Emiratis and non-Emiratis. So first study, walk you through with it. We want to assess the prevalence of vitamin D deficiency among a representative sample of young adult Emiratis, and we want to evaluate the influence of the sun avoidance attitude, like you know, whether you avoid being in the sun, whether you enjoy being in the sun, etc., and the diet on vitamin D. And we also got interested in one aspect. We know that a lot of research indicated that there's a relation between vitamin D deficiency and depression. So I personally got interested, and I was discussing with one of my colleagues at the university, and he said, like, oh, well, let's do some research. And yeah, the second day he came up with a lot of papers, and he told me, like, yeah, let's do it. You know, definitely we want to investigate if there's a role, if there's a relation between depression and vitamin D deficiency. And to our knowledge, no one has ever done this in this in the Arab community, in the Arab world, or in the Gulf countries. So we said, like, let's do it. So the hypothesis was that there's a positive relationship between vitamin D deficiency on one side and being overweight or avoiding sun and being depressed or taking not enough from the food in terms of vitamin D rich food. And for the updated vitamin D status, I just want to show you that we use these guidelines, and if you just pay attention to the last one there, we know that, you know, we use the cutoff of 75 and above to be sufficient. So that was the first study. It was a cross-sectional study, and we used two cohorts. We tested some students in the summer, and we tested another group or the other cohort in the winter. And the students were randomly selected, so we got the list of like all the names, and you know, we randomly athlete in the study, and we started investigating the blood level for vitamin D, for 25-hydroxy D. Now, when I say the summer and winter, it's very different when the summer and winter, like, you know, everywhere in the world. Summer here is between, you know, March to June, and winter is from November to February. And when I say winter, it doesn't mean that, you know, it'll be snowing outside, it's, you know, mainly raining. It's just going to be hot. Basically, it's still sunny, but the temperature is just a little bit, you know, cooler as compared to the summer. So we have like a total of 278 participants. Like we had 208 females and 70 males. Don't ask me why we didn't have the same number of males, but you know, when Professor Hollis was talking about how difficult and how hard it was to convince those native Africans, it was a flashback in my head that it was so difficult. Nothing compared, I mean, to his was really, really difficult. But again, I mean, trying to convince those university students to get tested was a bit difficult, it was a bit challenging, and particularly among the males. No idea, but you know, the females had, they were participating more than the males actually. So the study was conducted in November, it started in November 2009, lasted until about March 2010, and we started collecting the data. We did the blood test to measure the 25-hydroxy-D by modified HPLC and SKMD, and we gave the participants a questionnaire that has different components, some questions relating to, you know, socio-demographic or residential education, some about their medical history, some relating to nutritionists, and some psychology, because, you know, we wanted to measure with regards to depressive symptoms and so on. So we actually used three different questionnaires. One was sun avoidance inventory, one was Beckman depression inventory, and the third was the food consumption and diet, which is food frequency questionnaire. The BTI and FFQ were already, you know, these are already validated tools, and they were established by other researchers. Except the FFQ, we will modify it slightly to include traditional food from the UAE. For the sun avoidance inventory, this was a tool that we specifically designed in order to assess, in order to have an idea about the attitude towards the sun. So whether you avoid being in the sun or whether you don't avoid, when you're like, you know, you go out in the sun. So this is more like just to show you a little bit this SAI, again, the sun avoidance inventory that we called SAI. It has a lot of sections, and one of them is, for example, occupational. And one of the questions would be something like this: would I enjoy work more if I spent less time outdoors in the sun, or if I spent more time outdoors in the sun? And so it was also, it had a scale. And so for instance here it's recreational. When I'm not working or occupied, do I prefer to spend time outdoors or I don't spend time outdoors? Do I play like outdoor sports and engage myself in outdoor activities like gardening, etc., etc.? And something also about the dress code while you are outdoors and how many hours do you spend and so on. So from all of this, you get a scale or you get a score, and based on the score, you can know whether the person is going to be he or she is actually avoiding the sun or not avoiding the sun. This is the BDI, the one for depression by Beckman, and it has a lot of questions relating to depression or depressive symptoms, and something about sadness, pessimism, failure, and so on. So we collected all this data, and we did the statistical analysis, and then we looked at differences in terms of the 25-hydroxy-D to reflect the vitamin D status. And we analyzed differences according to gender and the season with statistical depth labine. The main variables, of course, were the intake from food, the body mass index, depression, and the SAI, which is like for sun avoidance. So these are the results for the first study. You can tell that for most of the 64% were almost female and the rest were male. And in terms of the vitamin D status, you can see that around 94%, if you take these two atoms together, they're actually deficient. So this is a severe deficient and these are vitamin deficient. So we don't want to be very
kind of, you know, dramatic, and we decided to pull them together and just say, call people deficient, some of
not severe deficient and deficient. And you can notice, like, the shocking here finding is that only 1% of that target population was sufficient in terms of vitamin D. If you look at the SAI, non-avoidant infantory, so again, as I said, according to the scores that you got out of 50, you would classify the person whether he or she is has low non-avoidant or moderate non-avoidant or high non-avoidant. And you can see from the data that most of the participants either had high or moderate non-avoidant. Now looking at the relation between vitamin D and the body mass index, so relating to obesity basically, we want to see the overall idea about the BMI. And you can tell that most of the participants were actually normal. And this was, to be honest, expected because these are university students, so they're like more concerned about their body image and so on. So that was not a big surprise for us that most of the students were actually normal. Very, very few were actually severely obese, and we had more actually underweight with this problem on our campus, to be honest. And some were like, you know, the clinical rate of severe underweight. So these are the statistics for the depression, VDI, and we noticed that in terms of like gender, male and female, that the males were slightly less depressed as compared to the males, females, sorry. So in terms of the VDI score. Yeah, and you notice again here that the majority did not show any symptoms of depression, and just a few here, if you pull these together, like either mild or you know, severe depression as well. And so this is the severe depression, and this was worth you know, looking into and investigating more. In terms of the food frequency, so intake of vitamin D through the food, we noticed that majority of the participants had low intake of food that's rich in vitamin D, and that was not a surprise at all. Only around 2% were really taking from the diet. This table shows the, you know, overall baseline characteristics with regards to vitamin D status and the other variables for both males and females. And you can see that was the average, the mean value for the age, 21 and 20, so very comparable for both males and females. In terms of BMI, again, very comparable. And in terms of 25-hydroxy, so basically reflecting the vitamin D status, we noticed that the males have slightly higher vitamin D status as compared to the females. And going at the same time, you see that the sun avoidance score for the males was less as compared to that of the females. So these two go together, and I'll explain more about that in a few slides. And then going into the food frequency questionnaire, food frequency intake for the score, we noticed that both of them were, you know, were not very, very high. This is the characteristics in terms of seasonal variation. So remember, we tested one cohort in the summer and again another cohort in the winter because we wanted to see whether, like with other research groups in other countries, you have any differences in terms of the season. So basically in all other countries, you have most population will be deficient in the winter, but if you test them again in the summer, they'll be sufficient. So we want to see whether this is the case here. And again, if you look, you see that this is the 25 hydroxy gene here. This is, it jumped from around 21 to 31. And this was a significant difference. So yes, there is a significant difference in terms of like seasonal variation. Although still, they're not sufficient, but at least their level improved slightly. And all the others were, if you also look at the sun avoidance inventory, you will notice that it also changed according to the season. The others, they remained the same in the BMI, of course. So this is, to sum up all the relations between the vitamin D on one hand, the sun avoidance, the depression, we have the following table. And if you just bear that with me, I'll just show you the important lines here. If you look, this is the SAI, so relating to the sun avoidance, as we said. And you notice that when you take it with the D, D means like the 25 hydroxy D level basically, you notice that there is a significant negative correlation between the sun avoidance and the D. So basically, if you avoid the sun, the more you avoid the sun, or the higher your score for sun avoidance, the lower your vitamin or your 25 hydroxy D will be. And if you take the depression BDI score, you notice there is a similar relation as well with the D. So basically the same. If you have the serum 25 hydroxy D was low, this means that the person has shown a high score for the depressive symptoms. Now, if you talk about depression and vitamin D, it's a bit tricky. It's not really direct relation like the sun avoidance story, because we're not really sure whether it's the depression that caused the person to become, you know, vitamin D deficient because of avoiding the sun, or is it that when you are vitamin D deficient, you'll be predisposed for depression. So this is something very interesting. We're trying to kind of now focus on which one is really moderating the other. This is the body mass index, so the contribution basically from obesity, and you know, we notice that there's no significant correlation between BMI and the vitamin D. Now again, that was, you know, we can explain this because, as I said, like the majority of our students were actually normal in terms of weight, and so we don't think that the weight was actually playing a role, like obesity was really playing a role in terms of vitamin D status as a risk factor. Now, what about the intake from the food? We noticed that, as you've seen previously on the slide, most of the participants had very low intake of vitamin D from the food. And we realized that actually there was no correlation between intake of vitamin D through the food and the vitamin D status or the weight. So it doesn't really matter if you take, even if you're taking like meals that's really fortified and you're eating a lot of fish, like as most of our, you know, like here fish is a big, it's one of the best, mostly consumed food items. Still, like that's not going to boost your vitamin D status. So there was no correlation between the intake from the food. Now, we were interested in knowing whether if you combine both the SAI, so the sun avoidance score, with the, along with the depression score, whether this is going to lead to kind of a, what we call a predictive role or predictive value for vitamin D deficiency. So if we test a person and we find her or him deficient, and we notice that both the FAI and the BDI were negatively correlated, does this mean that we can do it backwards? Meaning that, you know, you take a person and you do the BDI, you do the FAI, and you notice that the scores are really high, so, you know, high avoidance of the sun, high depressive symptoms. Does this really predict that the person is going to be vitamin D deficient? Well, we did this modeling with the statistics, and we noticed that if you combine both the FAI and the BDI, you might get, you know, a better result than using one of them. So it's good to use both at the same time. So the conclusions from the first study, we realized that, you know, vitamin D deficiency is really prevalent among the other minorities and both gender, because initially certain studies were showing that it's probably common among the females. But we documented that even the males have problems regarding the vitamin D deficiency. The males, even though they have slightly higher vitamin D status, that doesn't mean that, you know, they were sufficient still. But the interesting thing that came up was that the males, we think the reason why they have a slightly higher vitamin D level is due to their sun avoidance attitude, because they're not avoiding the sun to the same extent that the females were actually avoiding. And that was the reason why we had this slightly higher level in terms of the vitamin D. Also, there was a seasonal variation pattern for the vitamin D. So as we said, you know, I had differences in terms of the serum level, but that was exactly the opposite as what was reported by other parts of the world. So instead of the vitamin D levels being high in the summer, in this case they were high in the winter as compared to the summer. But you know, there's a completely logical explanation for this, and the reasons for that are the following. In the winter, which runs from let's say, you know, November, December, January to February, the temperature outside is really nice. I mean, it's nice outside, so you can go out and enjoy the sun. It's not really hot, but still you can get a lot of vitamin D because there's no clouds or there's no rain or snow or whatever. It's still very sunny. But when it gets really, really hot in the summer, no one's ever out, even like for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. So this explains why we have the extreme opposite scenario as compared to the other ones. So again, just to say, there was a significant negative correlation between the vitamin D status and the sun avoidance. Also, negative correlation with the depression. Significant positive correlation between the depression and the sun avoidance as well, on one hand. We had no correlation between vitamin D and the intake from the food. We had no correlation between vitamin D and the body mass index. So that concluded the first study, and we have an idea about the severity, or like, you know, how serious it is among the subpopulation of young adults, minority adults. So we wanted to move to the other part of the study, and we want a larger scale study, and we want like more population-based, and so we wanted to have an idea about the mixed population outside the UAE. We, and again, we wanted to introduce the same risk factors. We want to see sun avoidance behavior, depression, and we also introduced risk for diabetes in this study. So again, we want to assess the prevalence, examine the influence of certain demographics, and assess the relationship between vitamin D deficiency, diabetes, and depressive symptoms. Now, for doing the population-based study, it was very difficult as compared to the study that was done on university students. And initially, we were planning for residential, like going from door to door, and we started doing this. But, you know, the research mentality here is very different from research mentality in, like, you know, Western countries and other parts of the world where they're more used to research. And imagine, you know, someone knocking at your door, group of people, like 3, 4, and a phlebotomist who wants to take some blood sample from you as well. So we didn't have, you know, the extent of participation that we wanted, and we started thinking about other possibilities or other, you know, designs that would kind of add more participants to the study. So we kept doing it. We did the residential. We started, like, taking within Abu Dhabi houses according to the residential area. But again, we started also having lectures at certain companies. So we went to companies, some of the big companies here in Abu Dhabi, and we gave them lectures about, you know, the awareness of vitamin D, and we told them, like, at the end of the lecture, if you're interested in measuring your vitamin D level, we're going to do it for free, and all you have to do is just fill this questionnaire and give it to us by the end of the day. And so I'll give you an example of one of the companies that we actually visited. In 2 hours only, we had 110 participants. And they were, like, I mean, they knew before that we were coming, so they were not notified by e-cards and the stupid posters and so on. And so we were impressed with this back strategy and kept on doing it to add up to the 500 participants. So we did the same. We did the blood test to assess the vitamin D 25-hydroxy. We use the BDI, we use the AUSD risk standardized unvalidated tool that measures the risk for developing diabetes, and we also use our own SAI. And these are the results. The results were a little bit similar to those of the ones we had from Zion University, actually, but the difference was that, you know, here we had slightly higher sufficiency. So 4% were sufficient, and a majority were severely deficient. We had 8% deficiency, and we had 34% who were actually insufficient. So this is very similar to the scenario that we have from university students. These are the baseline characteristics. Again, we have, according to the age, the body mass index, the avoidance from the sun, and the depression. And so that was the mean value for the 25-hydroxy, 23.5, and so it's still very low. And here the age was around 43, so of course higher than that of for the university students. Again, the BMI was higher, so that reflects, the BMI that we had from university students did not really reflect for the UAE population, because, you know, obesity is a problem here. So in this scenario, we had more in terms of, like, obesity. We also had the diabetes risk score and the depression, and the sun avoidance. Now, just to compare whether our this one sample was really representative of the UAE population, we did mapping and we noticed that it is really comparable. It is really comparable, because if you take the UAE population, you would have this is what you have. So here it's around 19 to 20% actually UAE nationals, and around 50% are from South Asia, 23% are Arabs from other countries, and only 8% from Western countries. And we did the statistical analysis for our sample and noticed that it's comparable. So that means that, you know, we were confident in terms of, like, reflecting the UAE population. I will quickly, in terms of the analysis, in terms of gender and depression and vitamin D levels, we noticed that they had, the females exhibited high levels of depression among the participants. Again, the females had higher levels of sun avoidance, and in contrast, the males had higher vitamin D levels as compared, because, you know, these two were actually negatively correlated with the vitamin D here. If you take in terms of nationalities and ethnicities, we notice that the UAE nationals, they have the highest sun avoidance score, so they are the ones who avoid being in the sun most than all the others. They also have a high depression symptoms as compared to all the others. In the South Asians, they have the lowest depression symptom scores. So I'll go quickly, just because of the time, but just to say that we also have a different correlation between the BDI, SAI, and the vitamin D. But one kind of... So again, this is a negative correlation between the vitamin D levels and avoidance score, and likewise in the depression. But we were surprised because we didn't find any significant correlation between the vitamin D levels and the diabetes risk factor. And we were hoping that, you know, there would be some kind of positive correlation, but we were surprised not to have that. So what we concluded that the sun avoidance behaviors were major risk factors among the UAE population, and this really demonstrated that the predictive value for SAI is high, so you can probably use it as a useful pre-screen. So, you know, you give the tool, and if someone scores high, this will, you know, probably you think that he or she is really predisposed to vitamin D deficiency. And there was no significant relation between the diabetes risk level and vitamin D. So we hope that we have actually delivered the following, that we really documented the true picture about vitamin D deficiency among the UAE young adults, minority adults, and UAE population. And we hope we can guide like future intervention studies. And we know now there's a big interest starting from Hanad and they're working on trying to overcome that burden. And lastly, I want to acknowledge the research team, great efforts, Dr. Leila Abdulbarin and Dr. Afroz and Dr. Grant, and the research office at Zion University, the Anna Foundation for the funding, and my lovely research assistants who were actually students for helping me with the research. And thank you.